Is the mainstream media trying to brainwash us? I think so, and I'll show you how. The Monica Perez Show starts now. This is Monica Perez, your libertarian voice on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Every Saturday from 3 to 6, I am back at my regular time. But this is not going to be a regular show. I had a super rough week. If you ever hear the expression, you look like you lost your best friend? Well, I actually lost my best friend this week. My friend Liz died, and I wasn't sure I could or should do the show, but I decided to go ahead with it because she was a huge fan. She knew how important the show is to me, and it would have really bummed her out if I canceled it. So I decided to do something a little bit different, something I think she would have really liked, something that would cheer me up. I think we could all use a little cheering up these days, because no matter which side of the aisle you are on, it's not very uplifting to watch the news, follow the news. So I wanted to do something that I thought would kind of help me turn the corner, and something I thought Liz would like. And this is what I have in mind. She was a convert. Liz was a convert. She used to be a liberal, and then she became a hardcore conservative. And it's like when, you know, former smokers or recovering alcoholics, like, have no tolerance for smokers or drinkers anymore. She had no tolerance for liberals. And I mean, she actually registered as a libertarian after listening to my show, but she was really just a hardcore conservative. And if you, like, even mentioned Keith Olbermann's name, and I know, like, her family and friends are probably listening today, they know that this is true. She would just, like, roll her eyes and groan, like many of us do, I think. But so I thought it'd be funny and fun to pull together some of the kind of crazier things that the liberal media is coming up with these days. It's getting shrill. It's getting fanatical. It's, you know, if it really manages to turn this country upside down, it'll be scary. But in the meanwhile, I do actually think it's so ridiculous that it's funny. So Binkley is going to he's really put a lot of effort into trying to pull together clips that will help kind of fit the mood of the show, demonstrate these kind of extreme, preposterous liberal memes that are coming across these days. So, Binkley, thank you so much for all that extra work. And I do. So did you, like, in pulling all this stuff together, did you come up with a kind of a theme? Like, what's the general tone of what you've discovered and pulled for us?
Well, the general tone is lunacy, is what the general tone is. But they've kind of created this alternative universe where they're pushing these themes that it's absolutely crazy to believe that Obama might have tapped Trump's wires. Another theme is that Trump is definitely tied to Russia. We just need to find the evidence. And the other theme is just be very afraid all the time.
Yes, this has been going on. I know you and I have noticed this for weeks, if not months, but really it's reached a fever pitch in the past couple of weeks. But, like, this week, for obvious reasons, I did not do my normal, like, reading the journal cover to cover, tuning into the news, surfing the web all day long to try to figure out what's going on. But I did try to, like, pop in and check the headlines every once in a while, and it really felt to me like every single time I checked the headlines, it was about the Trump's tweet that Obama wiretapped Trump Tower. It's like, I think this is weeks old by now.
It's crazy.
And here's the thing that's so crazy about it is that, you know, I say stuff like this and people get all mad and they call. You can call and be mad if you want. But it's, to me, it was so unimportant for a couple of different reasons. One is that it was just Trump just popped off at Obama. You know, I mean, it could be, it's unstatesmanlike, I guess, but that's actually what people like about Trump, is this raw, yeah, unfiltered reaction. When you're writing 140 characters, I know this was your response right away. Like, we tweet all the time. I think I have 11,000 tweets. Like, you to put a complex thought in 140 characters is, you give people a lot of latitude. But what was really, for me, more important than that was how self-evident the comment is. Maybe it wasn't Obama with a stethoscope listening in, you know, through the plaster,
yeah.
But it was so obvious that for reasons that are in evidence. First of all, people have been listening to my show for a while. My entire theme of the Obama presidency for years, I called him the surveillance president. People think it was Obamacare or just socialism generally. My view has been the most significant thing that Obama did and what he was there for, number one, was to implement the total surveillance state. That's what his job was, to keep anybody on the left who actually cared about privacy and all that kind of stuff quiet while he made this what is a stepping stone to totalitarianism. And then you have, so that's just was obvious to me. Then you had a couple of other things like all the NSA revelations. You had Snowden, this recent WikiLeaks data dump called Vault 7. If you haven't heard of it, I think it was my last show on that. Even though I think Snowden and Vault 7 are inside jobs, a little bit limited hangouts where they're doing it for some reason, the information is real. I mean, NSA is spying on us, me, you, Obama, Trump, they're all over it. It might not be that interesting. I'm not sure they really care when I tell my kids they have to clean their room before I get home, you know, on my email. I don't think they really care about it. But when they do care, they have it so they can look it up. And then you have like actual examples of it. So the National Security Advisor Flynn actually lost his job in record time because there were wiretaps of his phone. I mean, maybe wiretaps in quotes of his phone. And somebody leaked it. And then people don't use this example, but Dennis Kucinich talked to Gaddafi's son before Hillary and her gang toppled that regime, had him killed. And that conversation Kucinich had was recorded and much, much later leaked. And Kucinich said he had no idea he doesn't know who did it, just was not aware of that. So we know it's done. We know it's done constantly. And I started to wonder, why is this round the clock, you know, round the clock on the news for weeks? And it hit me like a ton of bricks. This is a classic distraction. This is an absolute distraction. And what I think they're distracting us from, if you just turn the page, you know, that's all over the front page. If you go to the second page, you have American soldiers now are fighting in Syria. They're not there training. This is a, right? Did you catch how significant that is?
Yeah.
It's so underplayed in the media.
They don't bring it up at all.
No. And then we're bombing the crap out of Yemen, which we're doing for Saudi Arabia because Al-Qaeda participated with Osama bin Laden and 9/11, everything in Yemen under the regime that we are fighting to bring back, the one that we protected. This is a different regime. So it's what they're telling us is absolutely easily debunked. And then on the cover of the Wall Street Journal today, I've been flagging this week after week. Tillerson, I have to read this blurb to you if we have a second. Trump and Tillerson hardened the U.S. approach to North Korea, ruling out direct talks and raising the option of a preemptive strike on North Korea, which is really just declaring war on China. And this is Trump who said, why can't we talk to people?
That was his whole thing.
Yeah, and a preemptive strike is an attack. That's a euphemism. A preemptive strike,
right.
What does that mean? It's an attack. They don't have the ability to attack us. So this is big stuff, and we're not talking about it. And they put it on the newspaper on Saturday. You know, it's big stuff. And then there's the other layer I think is going on, which is what you and I talked about in an early podcast that we did for Propaganda Report. Episode 4, I think, is my favorite, was Strategy of Tension, where they actually agitate the population against itself and for political purposes to try to... the kind of textbook definition of it that I came up with then not realizing how significant it would be, was to, you know, how much it would really apply to what was unfolding before us, was that it was used to undermine democracy and call, have the people give up on this kind of civil society and call for military control of the government or police state. And I wouldn't be surprised if this constant agitation isn't meant not only to distract us from foreign policy escalation. We can peel the onion on that later in the show. There are a lot of signs pointing to that. But also this ushering in a kind of totalitarianism here at home as the population kind of gives up on the system. And I do want to take it light with our clips, but I, you know, is it possible for me to do that? I guess I'm not. I'm always just going to jump down into the rabbit hole. So maybe you can throw me some whatever.
You can
flowers.
Attach a rope to you.
Yes, throw me something that out. I can shine a little light down there. But I do want to have fun with it. But I feel like the themes that you're talking about are really serious. Their approach to it can be laughable, and hopefully we can strike a balance here. I want to get to some tweets. I want to get to some calls. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. At Monica Perez Show is my Twitter handle, and if maybe just coming up next, we can start with one of the kind of funnier, more outrageous clips. So stay tuned. This is Monica Perez.
Monica Perez on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
If you're a Trump supporter, I'd like to talk to you for a little while about dogs and cats. Dogs and cats and horses and hamsters and guinea pigs and snakes and any other animal you love. Because with one change made under this administration, a lot of them are going to die, and a lot of them are going to suffer, and you and I won't even be able to find out that it's happening.
That was Keith Olbermann. Is that saying, basically just trying to terrify people, Trump's going to kill your pets, and you're not even going to know it? Like, what was that, Binkley?
He was referring to some list that they took off of some website. See, he doesn't go into any of the details, really, in his rants. He just makes these bold assertions and then says something really crazy.
So I've seen these. These are Keith Olbermann's, he makes this series of videos. I think he calls himself the resistance.
Yeah.
Or that's what people say. It really makes me mad, though, because in September 2013, I did a podcast called The First Victory for the Resistance, which was about that Obama and Kerry were begging us to bomb Damascus and for the children because of the chemical weapons attacks, which later were proven to be from the rebels. So thank goodness we didn't do that. But the people stood up and they wouldn't even bring it to a vote in Congress. And I called that the first victory of the resistance. But now these guys have hijacked my term, and they are using parallel. You know, there are a lot of parallels between the reaction to some of what Obama was doing and the reaction to Trump, although I do want to get into that a little bit. I feel like the Obama thing was more authentic. They called it AstroTurf, but this is obviously top down. When you hear this stuff, agitation, I think you call it agitation propaganda,
yeah,
coming down from the top to make people freak out about stupid stuff or unproven stuff. I mean, it's got AstroTurf written all over it.
Yeah.
So I want to get to more of that. I want to get to Alan's call. He wants to talk about the double standard in the media. I think that's for sure true. It's 65 outside the studio. It's a 7 on the Mellish meter. I thank you very much for your lovely tweets. Very much appreciated. I'm taking calls 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK, and we'll be reading some tweets on the air, playing more of these really outrageous clips. So stay tuned. This is Monica Perez.
A madhouse!
Monica Perez on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
I am your libertarian voice on WSB, Saturdays from 3 to 6. And we're talking today, trying to lighten the mood a little bit, poking some fun at what's coming out of the mainstream media. I hear all this stuff on the news now that were like my expressions, the fake news, the deep state. I thought I kind of coined alt left, but that could have been simultaneous discovery. But I think every one of those expressions came out in one sentence on Hannity earlier. And I just thought it was funny because people were telling, look at me like I'm a nutcase. In years past, because I identified these background forces. Now, I think they're being whitewashed in the mainstream media. I think the deep state is not Obama holdovers. I think the deep state rises above and beyond parties and elections and even generations at this point. So for me, it's a much more serious thing. But so one of the expressions that I noticed just being used and overused was the left-wing media, left-wing bias media, left-wing mainstream media. That's kind of an old expression, left-wing. But I've always noticed there was a left-leaning bias in the media, not just on the left, but also on the right. When you listen to Fox News, they don't talk about we need to have no welfare state. They don't talk about we need that the federal control of healthcare is a violation of the 10th Amendment. They say whose policy is better. They completely acknowledge, stipulate that socialism is inevitable in this country. And so for me, I feel like the left-wing media is super, super left, and the right-wing media is kind of left too. And so I hesitate to use the expression the left-wing media, but this is kind of what we're listening to. Binkley pulled some great clips for us. What we're really listening to is an absolute manipulation. It's a manipulative kind of partisan left-wing media, just almost kind of trying to brainwash us, not even with logic and reason, not like with evidence and convincing arguments, which they say they have and may even have. I feel like they're almost training us to not look for that, even from they who call themselves the standard bearers, call themselves the real news. They should be providing the names of sources, if at all possible, evidence to support their claims, coherent narratives that actually explain what's happening, give you an idea of what's coming. But they're not even doing that anymore, yet they still are trying to claim legitimacy. So I have noticed it. I'm going to try to take it lightly, but I'm keeping my eye on it in case it actually grabs hold and has a real impact. We might be in trouble, but I want to go take some calls, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. You can also tweet at me, at Monica Perez Show. I'm going to Alan in Atlanta. Hi, Alan. You're on with Monica.
Hi there.
Hey.
The liberal media is pretty much biased, and example is, remember about 7 or 8 years ago, some poor rodeo clown decided he wanted to wear an Obama mask? Poor guy was crucified, was fired, couldn't get a job for about a year or so. Also, that anytime a reporter or something said Obama and not President Obama, they would just go off on him, not showing him respect or anything. Yet here we are with Saturday Night Live and people calling him despicable and a Nazi, and you don't hear anything, thing about showing him any respect.
It's quite disrespectful. I agree with that. And I did notice, I even wondered at the time, I really feel like the politicians on the left and the right, as a general rule, do not deserve my respect. I mean, I hate to even say that, but I feel like their business is to lie, and that they use this exalted position. They act like they deserve all this respect. It kind of bums me out because they don't. They're contemptible in most cases. But I actually basically have just basic manners and don't try to disrespect people, slight people without a necessary reason. I try never to do it, but there is a total double standard. I agree with you. So when it came up, I'm just saying, when it came up with Obama, even though I did not think he was defending the Constitution like he took an oath to do, I hesitated to be disrespectful just because he's a human being, But with Trump, they really go crazy on it.
Oh, they do. And like I said, it's just the liberal media does not have any respect for our candidates or people we like. but we are supposed to respect them no matter what. It's a double. It's two-faced. It's a double standard.
Yeah, I think
and,
I'm going to.
And until and another thing, if you say something, even if it's a lie, a thousand times, you're going to get somebody to believe you eventually.
Oh, it's for just, sure. You know, and beyond that, if you are on their side of the aisle, I noticed this about, I call it the art of ambiguity. They put things out there, even just that tweet about Obama and wiretapping. There's two interpretations to almost everything that gets round-the-clock news coverage, so that if you're on the right already, you totally get that interpretation that the right is giving you seems obvious to you. But if you're on the left, the interpretation they give you seems obvious to you. So you have this, they intentionally throw it out there so that you can absorb it to your liking. But I want to go down the rabbit hole just a smidgen from inspired by something you said, Alan. I remember with George W. Bush, they were so abusive to him in the media that I would defend him, like kind of knee-jerk defend him, even though I just remember the tipping point for me with Bush actually was when he signed the bill that effectively banned Edison light bulbs. You know, he was the one who signed the bill to make curly light bulbs the norm in this country. And that of all the things I could object to, that was the thing that threw me over the edge. But what would happen, he was so abused by the media that I found myself dismissing anything the left said about him. I found myself defending him. And I feel like that there is an element of that, or certainly we could be experiencing that again now, where it's intentionally divisive. They go over the top just to get people a little bit more polarized. I know you don't always go down the rabbit hole with me, Alan. So I'm not going to make you. But thank you very much for the call. I am. Let me take one more call. 404-872-0750. 1-800-WSB-TALK. You can tweet at me at Monica Perez Show. And then, Binkley, if you could queue up another clip, I will. I want to hear it.
All right.
So I'm going to go to John in McDonough. Hi, John. You're on with Monica.
Hey, Monica. Was calling. I was just driving down the road and heard your statement concerning that the left is going socialist almost downhill at a precipitous rate, and the right is going towards socialism as well. But at kind of a we'll get there when we get there rate. And so I've always, the majority of my libertarian friends, and you sound like one of them in regards to the libertarians that I know, are very motivated, very successful, fiscally conservative, but they're socially kind of, you know, whatever will be, will be. And the problem that the right seems to see is that majority of the problems that eventually become financial problems or education problems or social problems for society stem when we don't nip social problems or social quandaries or mores in the bud to start with. If you allow, marijuana's, starting drug.
Gateway.
Gateway drug, thank you. Sorry, I'm driving.
Yeah, it's totally fine. I have an answer. I understand what your question is, and I'm going to tell you what my response is. That you are saying you have to nip that stuff in the bud. I am saying, as a libertarian, I identify that almost all of these problems are exacerbated by government intervention, that we have, that very few people, my son has Down syndrome, and I see him as in the modern society, with the technological advancements that we've had, he could actually produce enough to survive in this society, that the percentage of people, the class of people who truly could not make a living, take care of themselves, is very small and would easily be covered voluntarily, especially today with the overwhelming prosperity we would have in a free society. And the Industrial Revolution, for all that it's criticized, all that history has been written about how awful it was, my understanding is that it was the beginning of a society that could absolutely sustain itself even at the most kind of unskilled basic levels, which is why Bismarck told the Kaiser to tax people so that they didn't have enough to take care of themselves and then give it back to them in unemployment and Social Security so that they would be dependent on the Kaiser, even though technology was making it so they could be independent, and that would rob the government of resources. So for me, the problem is that competition drives prices down. Greed drives people to produce more, to make advancements, but competition, real hardcore, uninterfered with competition, drives prices down, expands the economy, society, so that people will can take care of themselves. So I don't think the government, I think the government nipping it in the bud is the wrong way to look at it. The government makes it worse and takes away our social power to address those problems, and that they then have no, the government's only motivation is to be the last resort on that stuff. So they actually have a conflict of interest with us in that they want to promote poverty and chaos and conflict, because they're the ones who say they have the solution to it. But that's the fundamental difference in the thinking. And if you don't agree with it, that's absolutely your right. And but that's just to clarify, that's what I think. And I would not, you were describing what libertarians are socially, whatever will be, it's not that. We are actual, I would say, just non-interventionists across the board, except for when your rights are being violated. So the government doesn't have the right to steal from you to give to somebody else, doesn't have the right to kill people preemptively. Only if there's a real threat of violence does the government have any power, because it's an extension of our right to self-defense. So it's not that we're socially whatever will be. Socially, you would probably have a much more conservative world in a purely free society, because you would have consequences for actions that are not insulated, and the actual problems would plummet. That's my view. I guess maybe I got a little off track with getting to the cliffs, Binkley. I'm super sorry. Let's just take our break now, and then we'll maybe come in with a clip, get back on track. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK, and of course, tweet at me at Monica Perez Show.
Monica Perez on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
8 is the high today. The low overnight is 40. Weekend weather is brought to you by Shoemate Heating and Air. And I actually was going to do the clips, but I you kind of have to set them up. So I did promise them for this little segment, but we're going to wait till the top of the hour and dig into some funny Jake Tapper stuff. And Binkley, I have to warn you, Binkley hates Jake Tapper.
Cannot stand Jake Tapper.
So you got to get ready for a little venom. I'll try to talk him down. But
he's,
I think,
untethered to fact.
Untethered to facts. We'll have to give Binkley some space for that one. So I want to go to, I want to take a call. I want to go to Mark in Sandy Springs. Mark, you are on the air with Monica. How are you doing, Mark?
Yes, good. I'm fine. Two things. First of all, my heart goes out to you for your loss.
Thank you.
I'm an older person. Boy, you need to cherish your friends and family. You never know.
I have to say, my lesson here is gratitude in real time. You know, you have to, every minute. You want to watch TV with your kids? Like, that's awesome. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that's the best thing. So I cherish time, and I know the older I get, the more I'm going to get taught that lesson over and over again. But what you got for us, Mark? Thank you.
Okay. I'm going to coin a phrase from somebody, I don't remember who, but taxes are toxic trespass. And how toxic depends upon who's doing the trespass.
You have to explain it. Can you explain that in like 30 seconds? I have a little more than 30 seconds, but give me what you got.
Sure. What you were talking about, how I don't remember exactly who you said, they were taxing the people to make them more dependent.
Yeah.
And so
it was Bismarck. Like, Bismarck said it to the Kaiser.
Thank you. Thank you. That's it. So, you know, like if you take oil, somebody has to pay a tax in order to get the oil out. The refiners have to pay a tax. The transportation people have to pay a tax. The wholesaler pays a tax. The retailer pays a tax. Wouldn't it be neat to have a gallon of gas for 75 cents?
And then they take the taxes and they build they overstimulate the economy so that people buy more of the gas. You know, right. Like they'll build roads with the taxes that you didn't really need to subsidize. You know, they subsidize that infrastructure, which stimulates the economy, which increases the transactions, when really you might be happier staying home with your kids. It just makes it's a very complicated thought. I am definitely not going to get into in 2 seconds, but I will just in one passing thing say I've actually thought that maybe border wars have always really been about who gets the farmers' taxes, that the reason they've had wars is for that. More after the break. This is Monica Perez.